If you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was a man that had a vision from God. And it was this whole idea of a storehouse that actually allowed him to save his life, save his family's life, and ultimately save a nation.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck, your host with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. And we are so excited to serve our city and serve our world with the Word of God. Our goal is to help you grow into your potential in Christ through the Word of God. And so, Pastor Mark, one of the resources that we've created here is the New Life Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. And so tell us a little bit about how does the Straight Talk app help people grow?
Well, first of all, we have over 400 messages that are neatly packaged in series titles, and so you can listen at any time. In fact, Joshua, there's been 100,000 people that have downloaded messages, or 100,000 messages that have been downloaded, listened to, and already. So we're super excited about that. But we also want to highlight other resources that we have. For example, for those of you that have a hard time getting into the Word of God and you like the audio version best, there's a great app that's called Streetlights app that you can go and download. And this is sort of the Bible in an urban vibe. It's really, really good. Some of our friends have put it together. And my son loves listening to this. And it's kind of the Bible with an urban feel to it and urban beats to it. We also have something brand new we just put on there. I'm so excited about this. This is a friend of ours who leads worship at one of our locations and New Life locations called Tiffany Daniels, has just released an album, a worship album called Joyful in Hope. I've known Tiffany since she was like 13 years old, and she has a gift of worship.
Yes, she does.
Boy, this is all of the songs are original. A powerful, powerful CD that will just sort of elevate your worship. So I want to encourage you to go to our app and download Joyful in Hope.
So many other resources there. Check it out if you haven't yet. Share it with a friend. It's at PastorMarkJobe.com. You can download the Straight Talk app from your app store and use it every day.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us. Pastor Mark continues his new series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival, with the second half of his message today called Beyond Survival, Saving. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 8.
The Bible explains to us the concept of beginning to put margin into our lives. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers it little by little increases it. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The first concept is this. There is the storehouse concept that builds margin into your life. The challenge with most of us building a storehouse is that if I were to survey the majority of the people in this room and ask you, can you afford to have a storehouse? A lot of people in this auditorium would say, I can't afford to save. And what I want to challenge you with is you can't afford not to save. Because I believe no matter what your income is, there's a formula that needs to be applied. I've been teaching this formula for a long time. Sometimes you can't totally afford the percentages that I talk about, but it's a great place to start. You give, you save, you live. Give 10, save 10, live on 80. 10, 10, 80. Been teaching you that for several years. In fact, a lot of you, if you'd have been listening to some of that teaching for a lot of years, at this point, you'd be doing a lot better than what you are doing right now. And the reason I keep teaching it is not because I know you haven't heard it, but because I want you to apply it. And every year I get people that have told me, hey, we started applying these principles and man, has it made a huge difference in our life. So I want to continue to teach, continue until we get it grasped. I know that these principles can have a huge impact in your life and your destiny if you begin to put them into practice. Principle number two, I'm talking about a storehouse. A storehouse allows you to manage cycles of increase and decrease. If you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was a man that had a vision from God. And it was this whole idea of a storehouse that actually allowed him to save his life, save his family's life, and ultimately save a nation. And you remember the story of Joseph, right? He was in prison, and through a series of divine circumstances, the Pharaoh had a dream that he could not interpret. He called Joseph. Through a series of circumstances, Joseph interpreted the dream, and Joseph went from a jailbird to being the second in charge of the entire most powerful nation on the earth, which was Egypt. And what God spoke to Joseph about was the idea that he needed, during times of prosperity, he needed to put aside a surplus. And it tells us in Genesis chapter 41, this is what he said. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to keep in the cities of food. There was so much they were putting aside, it was called cities of food. The food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. So here's what we learn from Joseph's story. A couple things. Number one, there's cycles of prosperity and recession in every economy. Be prepared for cycles. Don't assume that things will always stay the same. Be prepared. Because cycles go up and they go down. And typically they don't just always keep going up, but they're cycles. And unless we understand that life has cycles, the economy has cycles, your health has cycles, your spiritual life has cycles, your emotions have cycles. Unless you understand the concept of cycles, life has cycles. There's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, there's a time to harvest. That's a cycle. When you're young, there's a time to date, there's a time to get married, there's a time to have kids, there's a time to retire, there's a time to die. There's cycles in life. In your spiritual life, there's a cycle of being born again, there's a cycle to grow, there's a cycle to reproduce, there's a cycle of maturity in your life. That's part of the cycles of life. Life has cycles. You need to understand that there are cycles in every life, in every economy, every spiritual life. If you don't understand cycles, then you'll be 20 years old right now and thinking that you're always going to have the same health and always have the same energy that you have at 20. And just ask a 50-year-old and they'll tell you that that's not true. How many of you guys in the 40s have said, hey, yeah, a little football game, that's okay, let's go out there. Before, when you were, 18, 19, you didn't have to train, you didn't have to prepare, you didn't have to, and you'd go out and you'd bounce back. Now, you go just a little tackle football, and you're limping for 3 months. And you're sore all over. Why? Life changes. Cycles change. Now, if you understand that, what you do is that you realize that when you're 20, when you're 18, 19, 20, it takes a lot less to stay in shape. But the older you get, the more it requires intentional effort to stay in shape. You got to watch what you eat. You have to run. You have to exercise if you're going to maintain a certain level. Why? Because life has cycles. In the economy, it's the same thing. There's cycles. And so what the principle of the storehouse is Joseph. We learned that life has cycles, so understand, be prepared for the cycles that are coming in life. During times of prosperity, surplus should be saved and not consumed. Many make the mistake in surplus time simply upgrading their living but not setting aside a storehouse. See, oftentimes what happens, if I were to ask, how many of you make more money than you made 6 years ago, the majority of you would raise your hand. However, just because you make money doesn't mean you have any surplus. Because most of us, as we make more money, what we do is we upgrade our toys. And we upgrade our lifestyle and our living, but it doesn't mean that we actually put aside any surplus. You may be making $20,000 more than you made 10 years ago, but it doesn't mean that you've set aside any surplus. And here's the challenge, here's the question about this, is that during times of surplus, there has to be intentional setting aside. Because it's easy to take the surplus and to use the surplus. The third thing that we learn from the Joseph story is that in times of recession, that surplus can be multiplied into more wealth as it's used to help meet the needs of others. A storehouse can begin to generate income of its own and be a blessing to other people. Psalms 37 verse 21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. The wicked borrow and doesn't pay because he doesn't understand cycles of recession. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrow is the slave or the servant to the lender. So understanding the cycles, what it does is it makes you understand that everybody has the ability and the right and the responsibility. And here's what I want you to understand. That everybody here, no matter where your economy is at, that you should be giving, you should be saving, and you should be budgeting. So here's my challenge to you. Some of you say, I can't afford to give. And I want to say, you can't afford not to give. And secondly, some of you say, I can't afford to save. And I want to say, some of you can't afford not to save. Give God something to bless. I love what it says in Deuteronomy. I read it earlier, and it says, and God commanded, listen, it says, and God commanded the blessing upon you, and the Lord will command the blessing upon you and your barns or your storehouse. Do you realize that God has the ability of commanding blessing? Do you know what blessing is? Blessing is the favor of God channeled in a direction. God has the ability to say, blessing, go there. Blessing, go there. Blessing, move to that address. Blessing, gravitate over there. God has the ability to direct and to command blessing. He has that power. Do you remember the story of David taking the ark into Jerusalem that was called the city of David at the time? And they were carrying the ark. And they were carrying the ark the wrong way. They were carrying it pulled by oxen, which it shouldn't be pulled by oxen because they were told that they had to carry it by the priest on their shoulders without touching the ark itself. And one of the sons of the priest got a little bold because the oxen, as they were carrying the ark, the cart that it was in began to move. And so the priest reached out his hand to steady the ark and immediately he was struck dead. You remember that story? Here's the thing. God doesn't need your help. When he says don't do it, he doesn't need your help. One of the priests thought that God needed his help. God doesn't need your help. He's sovereign. He's God. If he needs that, make that ark to float, he'll make that ark to float. But he doesn't need. So he was struck dead on the spot. When King David saw this, he said, I don't want the ark in my city. And so he found a guy by the name of Obed-Edom, and he said, let's store the house at Obed's house. On the way, maybe Obed and his family will die. This is dangerous stuff.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Beyond Survival, Saving. It's from our brand new series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 8. Today's Straight Talk is called Beyond Survival, Saving.
And so they took the ark and put it in the corner of Obed's house. And the Bible tells us that something unusual began to happen in Obed's house. All the neighbors started noticing it. All the village started talking about it. In 3 or more months that the ark was there, it says the blessing of God was on that house. Yeah, you know, hear me. It seems to be that the grass was greener at Obed's house, that his grain was growing higher, that his kids were stronger, that when everybody was getting sick, his kids weren't getting sick, that it seems like when the wind was blowing in one direction, it wasn't blowing that direction in his house. It seems like his interest rates weren't rising. It seems like his wife was happier. It seems like the blessing of God was steered to that house, and after a while, everybody could see the blessing of God is there. So much so that the king found out about it and said, hey, they said, Obed is being blessed. And it's that time that King David says, and bring the ark to my town. I want the blessing too. But you see, God commanded his blessing on that house. God has the ability to steer channel blessing wherever he wants it to go, ever he wants it to go. And I happen to believe that the heart of God is a heart to bless. Do you realize that the very first thing that God did after he created man and woman, the very first thing he did, he didn't give them a command. He didn't say, thou shalt not. You know what the Bible says he did? He blessed them. The very first thing he did is he blessed them. His favor upon them. I believe it's the heart of God to bless. But hear me well. We have to give God something to bless. As some of us, God wants to bless. We've so put ourselves out of the place for God to bless that he wants to, but he can't. He wants to, but he can't. And so I believe that when we begin to operate in these principles, and when we begin to operate in these, when we give God a storehouse and say, God, here's a storehouse to bless. God, I'm in a place where you can bless. I'm setting myself up in a place that you can bless, that God loves to do it. But we need to set ourselves up in a place that he can bless. The storehouse, thirdly, write this down. The storehouse enables you to model being a channel of blessing. David had storehouse to collect material for the temple. That's in 1 Chronicles 27. Nehemiah had storehouses to rebuild Jerusalem. That's in Nehemiah chapter 7 and 13. Hezekiah had storehouses in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 as well. And this is how a storehouse works. And let me tell you, I distinguish between a savings account and a storehouse in this way. A storehouse is a savings account that you have asked the blessing of God to come upon, and you've set it aside and prayed the blessing of God upon it. You see, I believe that all of your finances, you should be praying the blessing of God upon your finances. Because there's something about our finances when we dedicate them to God and we say, God, these are yours. When I write out checks, I'm going to pray over them. When I put money aside to save, I'm going to pray over it. Whatever I do when I start paying my bills, I'm going to pray over this. I am dedicating this. I'm giving you something to bless, God. Here's how it works. And some of you that have been around for a while, you know the history of this church. And you know that when we first started at New Life, that we were a small group of people in a neighborhood that had a lot of financial needs and started with a lot of people that didn't have jobs and just a small group of people that were there. And I remember just starting out with 18 people and a small core of people and very little economy, that we decided and we determined that we may have needs, but we were not going to be needy. That we may have needs, but we refuse to be needy. How many of you know there's a big difference between having needs and being needy? You see, needy is a mentality. Needy says, I need, gimme, I don't have, help me out, I want a handout. I've seen people at the same economic level to make the same thing. One has a needy mentality, another one has a mentality that I have the power to help and to give. Let me tell you, as long as you keep a needy mentality, you will always have greater and greater needs. The moment you understand, I have something to give, I will not be needy. I mean, I have a lot. But I am not in the category of needy. I have something valuable to give. The moment you understand that is the moment you start breaking out of a needy mentality and cycle. And I'll tell you what happened. So years ago, we started out, small group of people. And I remember at that time, we were giving almost nothing to missions, nothing outside, because there was a survival mentality. And the people of the church felt like, hey, we barely have enough money. We can't pay a pastor. We can barely pay the gas bill. We can barely pay the electrical bill. Man, we're in so much need. We need help from people in the outside. People from the suburbs need to help us. People that are out there need to help us out because we have so little. Oh, help us. And I noticed also that mentality was falling onto people in the church, that the people in the church felt like we're needy, we have nothing to give, we have nothing to offer. And so you had a small group that had come to that point. The church had been done better before, but had come to that point. And I remember we prayed and we cried out to God. And I remember a prayer meeting where we determined we will be a people of blessing. We will be a people that blesses. We will be a blessing to our neighborhood. We will give. We will help. We will contribute. We will not be a leech. We will not be a parasite. We will, whatever we have, we will be able to empower, able to give, because we may have needs, but we refuse to be needy. I remember we decided we were going to give to foreign missions when we barely had enough to pay our bills. You know what? Because I wanted to make sure that all of us knew, and we talked about, we're going to give. We're going to give. We're going to help. There are people in Africa that are needier than us. There are people in South America that are needier than us. There are people that have greater, we think we have needs, man. We haven't even seen it. There are people that have greater needs than us. We're going to help people with food. We're going to help people with jobs. We're going to help people out. We're going to give. We're going to contribute. Even though we had a little, I remember helping families out that were really needy. We're going to help. We're going to contribute because we may have needs, but we refuse to be needy. And I'll never forget a conversation that I had with a woman. There was a woman that was visiting and their family was pretty wealthy. She didn't attend to the church, but she happened to visit the church. And she cornered me in the basement of this little church with our few people that she had, that we had there. And I remember her coming up to my face and she said, "I can't believe that you expect these people in this community, in this neighborhood, to give beyond themselves and to help. They need help themselves. How can you expect them to help and give to other people and give?" And she was indignant about it. And I said to her, "Listen, do not take away the dignity of our giving. Because it may not be a lot that someone has to give. But the moment they give, there is power and dignity that's there. Because the moment they give, they are realizing, I have something that can help someone else." I'm not talking about just about finance. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about finances. I'm talking about whatever it is. And I said, "Do not take away their dignity. We will rise up out of this because we give." And you know what? There are still some places and some people that 20 years ago they had a needy mentality, and today they have a needy mentality. But there are those that learn to give, that learn to say, "I have something to give." And I want you to say out loud, "I have something to give." Say it out loud. Say it again. "I have something to give. I have something that is worth giving." See, you need to know that. You need to know that God has given you talents and that God has given you abilities. You need to know that God has given you resources. You need to know that you are not a beggar, but that you are a giver. You need to know that regardless what your circumstances are, that you have the ability to make a difference and to contribute. You need to understand that. It's the moment we as a church know that. It's the moment we begin to operate that. It's the moment we change our mentality and move to a whole different cycle of existence and living, because we realize, hey, I have something to give in Jesus' name. And we began to do that, and the blessing of God, I believe that engenders the blessing of God. It brings about the source of God's blessing. It gives God something to bless. It gives God something to bless. And I have I have a file that says Notes of Encouragement, and I have a file that I still kept. Years I had this. During those days, I remember I got in the offering, there was an anonymous note in the offering. And it was a food stamp. And it was with a little note. It was from a single mother. And she said, "I have very little, but I want to give something." And it was a food stamp put in the offering. And let me tell you, I don't know who that single mother was, but I bet you she's not on food stamps anymore. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being on food stamps, because sometimes there's crisis and we go through food stamps. But you know, if you have health in your body, especially you young men, let me tell you, if you're a young man and you have health in your body and you have the ability to work, listen, you may be on welfare. Welfare is there for a little bit. It's there for emergency. But I hope you're not camping out on welfare. I hope you don't camp out there. Because the person that you're robbing, you're not robbing the government. You're robbing your destiny.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message entitled Beyond Survival, Saving. It's from his current series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 3, Beyond Survival, Giving. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.